welcome to our assembly. We have several visitors here this morning. We appreciate so much your presence. Thank you for taking your time to come and worship with us. I hope that you are able to worship God in spirit and in truth among us. That is what we strive to do. And if there is anything that we say or do in our service, anything I say in my sermon that you have a question about, just know that you're free to ask, and we'll answer your questions after services at your convenience, because we want you to understand, we want you to know why that we do the things that we do. We believe that they are pleasing to God according to his word, and we would be more than happy to explain to you why at your leisure. This month, I've been talking about this passage in Proverbs 23 and verse 23 that says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it." And there's a lot that can be gathered from that simple, wise proverb. In my first lesson, I talked about the fact that there is such a thing as truth in the religious world and in the realm of religion. And that truth is worth having. In fact, it's essential. It's essential that you know the truth, that I know the truth about God, what God expects, what God wants. But that truth is going to cost you. It's not something that you have automatically. It's not something that you're born with. It's something that you've got to go out and get. And while it's expensive in some ways, not in terms of money, not in terms of some contribution you can make, but in terms of your personal choices and effort, it's going to cost you. But it is oh so worth having. And there are a lot of people who don't make that commitment. They do not pay the price for the truth. And as a consequence, they don't have it. They don't have the truth. In my last lesson, I talked about some of the costs of truth, what truth actually costs you. And as I said, it's not about money. It's about your commitment to the Word of God. As we saw in many passages, the truth of God, the truth about God and what he wants is found in his word. You've got to get that truth by careful and considered study of the word of God. And if you're not willing to do that, you can't have the truth. You'll never have the truth. And that's a commitment that you have to make. It's not about coming here or to some other church and listening to some preacher explain to you what the truth is. Because you can't know that what I say is true unless you're willing to look into God's word and find out for yourself that it's true. And that's a commitment that you have to make. Now, there's some other costs to truth. If you have a falsehood that you are especially committed to and in love with and you've grown up with, and it's a cherished falsehood, it's one that was handed to you by people that you care about, love, maybe family members, but you find in God's word that it's simply not true, you're going to have to give that up. If you're going to have the truth, you've got to give up that falsehood, and that's a hard deal to make. And there are some other areas that you have to make sacrifices. There are some prejudices and some skepticism that you've got to give up if you are to have the truth. And these are things that I didn't have to talk about much last week, but I'll just make the point this morning. And it may cost you some relationships and some respect. Because in this day and time, a lot of what the Word of God says is politically incorrect, not accepted in many areas. And if you believe the truth of God's word and you speak the truth of God's word, it will not put you in good favor with a lot of people. But that's the price. You think people liked Paul when he stood in the Sanhedrin and said the truth about Jesus? Or when he stood before the Roman governor and said the truth about Jesus, he was called a crazy man. Or when he stood on the Areopagus in Athens and said, your worship of idols is not right. But he spoke the truth because it was the truth. And in our world, in our day and time, in our society, we have to uphold the truth. We have to speak the truth, and the truth is not popular with a lot of people. And so the cost of having truth, of buying truth, is to accept the disdain and disfavor that will come your way. And also the cost to you personally in your life. Because buying the truth is not simply a matter of knowing the truth, it's a matter of practicing the truth. And when you practice the truth in your life, and I'll talk a little bit more about that this morning, when you practice the truth in your life, it'll cost you some inconveniences. Are you willing to pay that price? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Because all I can do is put truth on the table from God's word. It's up to you whether you embrace it or not, buy the truth or not. And that's what I want to talk about for a few moments this morning in my last sermon. I want to talk about the truth is for sale. Now again, it's not about money. It's not about some kind of bargain. It's about embracing and accepting the truth and the costs that go along with that I've already talked about. But this morning, I want to talk about some of those truths. There's a lot of truth in the Word of God that we need to accept and embrace. And I want to talk about some of them this morning. And I want to ask you the question, are you willing to buy this truth? Are you willing to pay the price that it takes to have this truth? And the first truth that I want to talk to you about this morning is the fact that following Jesus is the only way that you can be saved. Following Jesus is the only way to God. Now that is the truth. It's the truth that's declared in the Word of God by Jesus himself. We talked about this passage in John 8, 31 and 32. Jesus says that if you abide in my teaching, then you will know the truth. And then that truth will set you free. Now that's a bold declaration for anybody to make, isn't it? And for any man to make it on his own would be essentially blasphemous. It would be a very presumptuous thing to say, but not for Jesus, because Jesus is the Son of God. It is the basis for him being able to say something like that. He's the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He is God's most clear and perfect representation of himself to us. And when he says this, you've got to abide in my teaching, and then you will know the truth, and then that truth will make you free. That is not presumptuous. That is not blasphemous. That is the truth. But it's a truth that you have to buy into, that you have to accept. Not everybody is willing to do that. Or this passage, and again in John chapter 18, verse 37, when he stood before Pontius Pilate, and his life was on the line, and he spoke the truth. And the truth was, yes, I am a king. Not like the one that maybe you're thinking about, but a king nonetheless. And this is what I declare to you, Pontius Pilate, that I came into the world to bear witness to the truth, and everyone who hears my voice, everybody who accepts the truth, hears my voice, follows my voice. That's the truth. There are a lot of lies. There's a lot of deceit. There's a lot of misinformation in the world. All you have to do is get online and you can get all the lies you want. But if you want the truth, the unvarnished and pure and unadulterated truth about God and about how to get to God and about what God wants, this is it. Jesus Christ. His words, his teaching, his revelation, that is the truth. Or this passage in John chapter 14 and verse 6, when he says to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Now that is not politically correct, but it's the truth. It is only through Jesus that we can come to God. There is no other way. As Peter himself said to the Sanhedrin, there is no other name given in heaven or on earth by which men can be saved. No other name. Or this passage in John 8, 24, where Jesus himself said, "Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." And his reference there is to him being the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God. You've got to accept that. Now, I know we live in days of political turmoil. And there are people who are arguing about whether we should let people from this country into our country or this religion into our country, and that whole debate is political, and I don't care one whit about that. But here's a truth I want to lay on you. If you want to get to heaven, you've got to be a Christian. God most certainly is in control of his borders. And he lets in whom he chooses. And unless you believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, and accept his will in your life, you will die in your sins. That is the truth. Now, for many people in the world, they don't want to pay what it costs to accept that truth. And what it will pay is, again, their prejudices, their skepticism. They have some worldly interests and worldly agendas that they are in love with. And this truth runs counter to the things that they want to believe and want to accept. I can't do anything about that. All I can do is to tell you that the man who said these things, he lived a beautiful and perfect life. And he went to the cross willingly, and he died for your sins. And he says to you, that man says to you, not me, he says to you, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. That's the truth. Are you willing to accept that truth? Are you willing to accept it? Because that's the cost. Furthermore, the truth of Jesus only saves those who obey it. Now, here's a truth that a lot of people who even claim to believe in Jesus, they have a hard time accepting. And yet, it's a truth that is declared and stated over and over and over again in the Scriptures. The same Scriptures that tell us about Jesus and tell us the truth about Jesus tells us that we have to obey that truth, that we have to follow it, that we have to put it into practice. And we can just look at a few passages that make that point. For instance, again, in John chapter 8 and verse 51, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who obeys my teaching will never die." Now, here's the truth here that you and I need to buy into. Now, in some translations, the translation is, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." You remember those words, "Verily, verily"? Or as it is more correctly and more literally translated, "Truly, truly, I say to you." That those who obey my teaching will never die. Is that a truth you're willing to accept? Or this passage in Romans chapter 2 and verse 8, "But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation." The truth is something, the truth of Jesus is something that must be obeyed. It must be. And without that obedience, you can't be saved. Now, to be clear, you're not saved by your obedience. It is not your obedience that saves you. It is the Lord who saves you. It is the Lord who forgives you. It is the Lord who redeems you. And he does that by the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. But it is God who decides. It is God who decides who is to be forgiven and who is not to be forgiven. And God, in his mercy, chooses to forgive those who buy into the truth and who obey it, who make it their life's ambition to do the will of Jesus Christ. That's the truth. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, you were running well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? Galatians were having a problem. There's people who lived there. They were Christians. They were practicing the truth. And then someone came along and sold them a bill of goods and told them a lie. And they began to buy into that lie and began to practice that lie. And Paul is saying, you're not obeying the truth anymore. You are tripped up. Or this passage in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Truth is something that has to be obeyed, and that's the truth. And if you're not willing to obey the truth, or if you buy into the lie that says, oh, you don't have to obey, there's nothing you have to do, that's not true. Accept the truth. You see, because there's no bargaining with God. You can't make up your own truth. You can't make up your own path. You can't. There's no wheeling and dealing with God. Many years ago, we lived in Bay City, Texas, and we wanted to buy a table and chairs for our dining room. We wanted an oak table and chairs, and so we began looking for an oak table and chairs. And one day, we went to a garage sale, and lo and behold, there was a fine, beautiful oak table, large oak table, and seven chairs. And they wanted, I believe it was $600, which was a bargain, a good deal, because at the time we'd priced new ones, they were $1,000, $1,200. So we were going to buy this table and chairs. But someone in my family, I won't say who, it could have been any of them really, someone said, well, there's only seven chairs, so ask if they'll take $50 less. I didn't want to do that, but I was persuaded. And so I go to the man and I say, will you take $50 less because there's one chair missing? And he said, fella, I'll never forget this. He said, fella, what you got here is a $900 table and chair set. And I felt about that big. And so I forked over $600 and I bought the table and seven chairs. And the next day, the eighth chair was on my porch. And I felt even smaller about that table. Now, do you think that you're going to stand before God on the judgment day and say, you've got to let me in. I know I didn't obey, but I didn't think that was necessary. Somebody told me that I didn't have to obey. Somebody told me that all I had to do was at some point in my life say the words, I believe in Jesus and I'm saved and I'm always saved and I don't have to go to church and I don't have to. You think you're going to wheel and deal with God? You think that's what's going to happen? I can tell you that is not going to happen. God has gone to great lengths and he has done a wonderful thing in sending his son to die for our sins and pay the price for our sins. But he has a plan, and the plan is you accept Jesus Christ and you follow him. Now, I know you won't do it perfectly. I know I don't. But nobody's saying you have to obey perfectly. The passages don't say you have to obey perfectly. They just say that you have to obey. Now, I had parents, and I knew what it meant to obey them, and I didn't always do it, but I, as a general rule, I did obey them. And I went to school and I had a teacher and I obeyed my teacher. Not always, but I did. As a general rule. I obey Jesus Christ. I obey Him. Not perfectly. And I ask for His forgiveness every day. But I obey Him. I'm telling you the truth. The truth is, you got to give your life to the Lord. And that means to follow Him, to obey Him. That's the truth. Nope. No, you're not going to get God down on that. You're not going, no loopholes in that. It's the truth. Now, the deal is, are you going to accept that truth? Or are you not going to accept that truth? And part of that truth is you got to be baptized. Oh, no. Oh, you don't have to be baptized. Really? You really don't have to? Is that what you're going to say? You're going to say that you don't have to be baptized. Well, a lot of people say that. They say, no, you don't have to be baptized. Well, let's just read some truth, shall we? Jesus says in Mark 16:16, now this is the one who secures your redemption. This is the one who died for you. And this is what He says. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, that is what He said. And if you're on a boat, or a ship, and the ship is sinking, the ship is on fire, the ship is going down, and you're in the middle of the ocean, and the captain says, you need to get on this boat, this lifeboat, and put on this life vest. You need to do these things. What are you going to do? You're going to say, well, I don't like that boat. That boat looks a little too small and rickety. And that life vest, that's yellow, and that clashes with my wardrobe, you know. I'm good. I'll take care of myself. Really? You're in a plane. A plane is crashing. It's going down. And they say, you got to put on this parachute. Oh, that's restrictive, you know. I don't know if I can. I think I'll just flap. I'll flap. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, who am I to say otherwise? Or this passage in Acts 22:16, Ananias says to Paul, or Saul, he says, why do you wait? You waiting for a better deal? Are you waiting for some other arrangement? You think God's got some kind of backup plan for you? Why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name. That's the truth. I didn't write that. Romans 6:3, do you not know? Because there are a lot of people apparently who don't. But do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? You know where salvation is? It's in the death of Jesus Christ. That is where salvation is. And do you know how you get into that death? You're baptized into it. Now, that's the truth. That is what the Word of God says. Now, it's on the counter. And you're looking at it. You are looking at the truth. The question is, are you going to buy it or not? Now, there's a lot of things in life that are gleamy and shiny and beautiful and attractive. And we naturally want to buy those things. There are some things that we find difficult to buy. Some things that aren't necessarily all that attractive to us personally, but we buy them out of necessity. Gasoline is one of those things. Gasoline stinks. The aroma it gives off is overwhelming. It's not particularly attractive. But boy, you need it. You got to have it. I don't know how you feel about baptism. Personally, I think it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. You know, it's something that God gives us. It's a symbol of birth. You know, we go down to the water and God washes. It's a symbol of God's washing. It's a point in time in which we can look back upon and say, that is the moment. That is when I died to the old self and was buried with Christ into His death. It's a wonderful moment. It's a moment of birth, of renewal of life. It's a wonderful gift from God. That's the way I look at it. But maybe you don't find it so attractive, but you need it. You need it. It's the truth. Or this passage in 1 Peter 3:21, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now that corresponds to this is talking about Noah's Ark. You know, he says, just like Noah and his family were saved through the waters of the flood on the ark, in the same way, baptism saves you. Now, here's the truth in Noah's day. You got to get on the ark. That's the truth. The only people who survived the flood were the people who got on the ark. That's the unvarnished whole truth. And corresponding to that, baptism saves you, or it doesn't, depending on whether you get on the ark or not. That's the truth. That's the teaching. It's up to you. Furthermore, you know, you cannot continue to live an immoral life and be saved. That is the truth. You cannot continue to live an immoral life and be saved. And this passage makes that abundantly clear. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Do you not know? There's another do you not know, because some people don't know this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. He's about to lay some truth on the counter here. He wants you to know the truth, but you might not know it. You might be deceived. He doesn't want you to be deceived. He wants you to know the truth, but it's up to you. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is the truth. That is the truth of God's word. It is not politically correct. It is not liked by a lot of people. But it's the truth. And the trick that we have is, you know, we've got to buy the truth and not sell it. And I understand, you know, I understand there are people in the world, they just find that distasteful, so distasteful. In fact, they will call you names. They will disparage you if you repeat that truth. And that's part of the price of buying the truth. The truth is that you cannot continue to practice stealing and go to heaven, and you cannot continue to practice drunkenness and go to heaven, and you cannot continue to practice idolatry and go to heaven, and you cannot continue to practice adultery and go to heaven. And I don't hate thieves. I don't hate adulterers. I don't hate idolaters. But the truth is, they cannot continue in that practice and go to heaven. That is the truth. And I have to accept that truth. And it's also true that those who practice homosexuality, they're not going to heaven either. Now the passage goes on to say, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were changed, you were redeemed, justified. And thieves can stop thieving, and adulterers can stop adultering, and drunkards can stop drinking. Hard, it's difficult. You're given to that lifestyle, you have that addiction, you have that compulsion. It's very difficult, it's challenging, but it's the truth. The truth is you can stop. Deny yourself that thing that you want, and you can be redeemed, you can be forgiven. And the same is true for practicing homosexuality. I don't deny one second that there are people who have that desire. I don't deny that the desire is real. It says the desire to drink is real, the desire to steal is real, the desire to commit adultery is real. Those desires are real. They exist. I'm not denying that. What I am denying is that you can give in to those desires, and any one of those categories can continue to give in to those desires and expect God to accept you, because he won't. That's the truth. the truth. And nothing any politician or judge or talking head on the TV, nothing they say is going to change that. It's not. The question is are you going to accept the truth or not accept the truth? That's up to you. Hebrews 10 and verse 26, for if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment. That's the truth. You can fall away. You can be lost after being saved. And if you keep on sinning and you don't try to change your life, that's exactly what's going to happen. That's the truth. I'm almost out of time here. In fact, I think I am out of time. What time is it? What's the truth? The truth is there's 20 minutes left. So I'll stop right there. You know, there are a lot of other things that are true, that are difficult to accept for some people, other people not so much. There's one thing that's difficult for all of us to accept, and that is the daily choice to follow Jesus. Challenging, difficult. But it can be done. And it must be done. God has made this tremendous, wonderful, beautiful way for us to be saved. And we should accept it. We should buy that truth and not sell it. Our soul's salvation depends upon it. And if you believe in Jesus Christ and you accept that truth, and you understand what the scriptures say when it says that you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and that's the truth, and you accept that truth, and you want to buy that truth, and you want to follow Jesus in your life, and you accept that truth, and you buy that truth, then let's make a deal. Come forward and say that you'll do that this morning as we stand and sing this song of encouragement.